Good evening. This is Steve Lasky. I'm the editorial director for SecurityInfoWatch.com Media Group. And we are here at GSX 2018 in Las Vegas and talking with two of the principals with control risks. And we are going to talk a little bit today and about some general issues about resiliency and contingency planning and continuity, and then also building out some GSOC and talking about strategic applications about those types of things. So I would like to start with introducing William Daly, Bill Daly. He's a partner here. He's got background in law enforcement, FBI, and in the corporate sector. And then Ryan Marvel, who is a generalist and has been in the security industry for almost a decade now. And I want to start with Bill. And Bill, just the situation now with where we are in enterprise global companies and some of the risks and some of the things they need to be looking out for when, you know, now we're talking about compliance issues like GDPR, we're talking about, you know, human factors, we're talking about weather issues that are impacting businesses. From a resiliency and a contingency standpoint, just talk a little bit about what companies need to be aware of.
Okay, sure, Steve. Thanks very much. And, you know, what's interesting is that this is the first year that they've rebranded the as-is exhibit and conferences, the Global Right. Security Exchange, which I think is indicative of kind of a morphing and changing security environment. I think, you know, for those of us who have been in the industry a while, have certainly seen this kind of maturing of the business, maturing from, you know, being more kind of guard and just physical security orientated to being ones where now corporate security directors need to be thinking about the bigger picture, need to be seen as being business professionals who know about security as opposed to those good old security folks who know something about business. So it's a bit of a reverse of that. And I think in that regard, the more that global security directors, chief security officers, you know, have an understanding of what the growing trends are and the technology available that's out there to help them, they can have that seat at the table. They can have that conversation with people who have, of themselves, maybe in senior positions in companies, and get the funding and the recognition for their services. You know, Steve, I think today we're seeing, from a broad picture, we're seeing many companies being affected by incidents, whether they happen to be, like you suggested, kind of compliance-related matters. You know, we have issues, whether it's over in Europe, whether it's here in the U.S., where you have people with the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act concerned about what's happening. So there's reporting requirements that people need to be able to gather that information once they know there's an incident, get that to the right people to start investigating and get to the root of it so they can maybe self-report. Those people who don't do that and don't do it efficiently, as we've seen, have suffered some consequences, severe consequences to both financial penalties, sometimes jail time. And so these are the things that people need to be aware of who are now in senior positions. The other thing we've also seen is that for companies to be, and we call it from control risk side, kind of our three R's, our readiness, response, and recovery. And, you know, it does apply across all these fields, you know, whether you're talking about compliance-related matters, talking about physical security, you're talking about technical security, or they're talking about supply chain and business continuity. Because we did see manifest itself now just about a year or so ago with some of the devastating hurricanes here in North America and in the Caribbean, is that companies were truly unprepared for events such as this, which is so large, that actually caused entire operations to cease for months, if not be totally destroyed. And they had no way to get a hold of their people, they had no way to provide communications when everything else was knocked out. So on a pragmatic side, is that having plans in place that can deal with those things that are probably the less likely but high impact events, as well as those things that are more kind of possible and maybe even lower impact, but look at that scale and do it on a risk analysis basis. And I think that's where you're getting at early, is that if this has become more of a risk analysis business, knowing what those risks are and then applying the right countermeasures. So in the past, it may have been great to stand up a force of X number of security guards. Fine, I got security in place, I got some cameras, I got some access control. No longer is that, because it's not everything is the same. You need to understand what risks are to your business from an enterprise-wide, and need to know where those risks are, and physically in different locations, they may be different from each other.
You know, in your background as a former security executive, high level with in the corporate sector, you know, how do you deal with C-level executives when you're trying to have them understand risk and how risk affects the business, you know, overall, from anything from brand and reputation to financial impact to logistics. As a security professional, like you said, the role you have to now serve is making sure they trust you and respect you as a peer. So how do you do that? You know, and bring, like you said, bring information to them that they can absorb, understand, and then react on.
Sure. A great question, Steve. And you know, it does tie into, you know, being seen as being kind of a business executive, someone with a business acumen,
right,
who knows about security, what needs to be done from a risk perspective, as opposed to the opposite. And I think in that regard, the more that individuals who are in senior corporate security positions understand kind of return on investment, the overall strategy of the company, making sure that their recommendations fit within the strategy, the near and long-term plans of the company, that they're financially prudent, that they're sustainable, and maybe in some cases cost savings if they can start to offset operational costs by having capital expenditures for equipment and other investments. You know, I think that rings the bell. That you know, when you start presenting that information using a risk-based platform, being able to demonstrate that, you know, we know, you know, all issues are not the same. We need to address these issues. This is the cost, but you know what? This is the return on that investment. I think that's when you start to get recognized as having that business acumen, that understanding, and I think that's where the rubber meets the road.
Final question for you. If you're back in the business world as a security executive, given the current state of affairs, what would be keeping you up at night now?
I think what would be keeping me up at night right now are these compliance-related matters.
Right.
I mean, there are always those kind of issues out there, whether it's a natural man-made disaster, but I think when you look at the reputation of organizations, we've seen many organizations, you know, have their reputations destroyed, if not have to either fold up their tent or be near close to folding up the tent because of sanctions, because of penalties that they need to pay to governments. I think that's when security professionals can really come into play. I think when they can demonstrate that what they're putting in place can help mitigate or even in some cases prevent some of those things happening, that's where I think they can be recognized as understanding what the business environment's like and what the risks are.
Ryan Marvel, you've been sitting here patiently listening to all these gems of wisdom. You know, let's talk a little bit about, you know, some of the buzzwords that are thrown around now from a global enterprise perspective. Situational awareness, big data. When you're putting together a system and a roadmap to act on data that's coming in, you've got to have a unified communications apparatus to make that so.
Sure.
Can you talk a little bit about how that's done and how you would approach it?
Yeah, sure, thanks. I mean, it's difficult because everybody has this need and this kind of desire in the marketplace for a one federated systems architecture where they can capture all of their risks and all of their data and everything on one kind of common user-friendly interface, but that's not quite yet possible. There are some folks here, and I'm looking out kind of across the floor, and there are people that are claiming to do that and some that are better than others and so forth, but you have so much data that's out there, and what we found is that no longer is it, you know, acceptable at the board level or the C level for folks within the corporate security department, especially at a senior level, to not at least be able to kind of articulate and to your point earlier, kind of look, sound, and feel a bit more like what the executives are used to seeing from the folks in operations and from finance and logistics and so forth. So we're seeing them now kind of bring in data analysts, data scientists, people that understand how to take advantage of and use all of that data that really sits in this treasure trove or data lake, for lack of a better buzzword, within these organizations, and then use that information and apply it to what they're doing in corporate security to then better prepare or as Bill said earlier, you know, be better positioned in the areas of readiness, response, and recovery.
When you're looking to really, you know, you just mentioned operations.
Sure.
How do you set that up from an operations perspective with, you know, a physical plant to make sure that you're able to have the security professionals in one area and then be able to disseminate information around to the global offices around the world? You know, how do you put together that Global Operations Center?
Sure. So we've seen in the industry kind of a massive uptick in interest around accelerating the capability of their security operations centers. And when you look kind of across the Fortune 500, you'll see companies that are, you know, at every stage along the kind of evolutionary journey of the build out of a GSOC. For some, it's two people in a dark room tucked away in the basement. For others, you know, like Uber, for example, they're, you know, capturing things that are happening all around the world in real time, have a threat management program built in, and are able to kind of notify their marketplace in real time in less than a few seconds of incidents happening through the use of data analytics and things of that nature. So what we're seeing is clients kind of taking a step back, hitting the pause button, and I think the most important thing up front is to really kind of define what the charter is or what the overall goal of the actual operations center function is. Because to be honest, for some, it really is for show. I mean, it's who can build the biggest, the flashiest, and who can impress the most executives on the tour that they give three or four times a day. For others, it's about ignoring all of the flashy, expensive, you know, data walls and massive technology, and really just focusing on the output and how they can have the most significant impact and protect the brand and reputation of the organization and its people, travelers, assets, and so forth.
If you're putting together a GSOC for a client right now.
Yep, we are.
And I'm sure you are. What are the biggest threat vectors that you're looking at working with them and, you know, trying to have that GSOC meet needs for?
So it's client specific. So I hate to deflect there, but there are some companies where their reputation is the single most important factor in why they're doing what they're doing.
Especially
in
for a service
security.
Company.
Exactly. For others, it's more, you know, hard assets. If it's retail, it's shrink, it depends. So really, again, kind of taking stock of all of the key stakeholders, bringing everybody together at the beginning to understand what the true needs of the business are and how this function can essentially then become a business enabler and business accelerator is the most important step right out of the gate, and then kind of making tweaks and adjustment and bringing all the right pieces of the puzzle together after that.
Gentlemen, excellent concepts and very good comments here. I again want to thank our guests, Bill Daly and Ryan Marvel, for joining us from Control Risks. This is a podcast from GSX, and we will be back with other folks down the road here. But again, gentlemen, thank you for your time.
Sure. Thank you.